Are you joined to Jesus Christ? See, you're one way or the other. You're either religious or you're joined to Jesus Christ. You're going to fit in one of the two categories here. Now let's read on verses 29 through 32. Pilate then went out unto them. They wouldn't come into him. He had to go out to them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If it were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die." This here was a fulfillment of prophecy. He had told the disciples that the Jewish religious leaders would condemn him to death, and they would deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. And you need to realize here that the death penalty under Jewish law was what? Stoning. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago. The death penalty was by stoning. But here the death penalty under the Romans was crucifixion. So this was prophecy being fulfilled. Do you realize that when Jesus hung on the cross, there was over 28, I believe there was exactly 28 prophecies that was fulfilled when he was, the time when he was hanging on the cross? You realize how many years before some of them have been prophesied? So this was a fulfillment of prophecy of how he would die. Now let's read on verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. So he goes back into Jesus. And he called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Verse 34. Jesus answered him, saying, "Thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee?" Verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus asked him, in other words, he said, "Where did you get evidence?" He said, saying thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? In other words, he's asking him, he said, "Where did you get the evidence? Did you discover it, or did somebody else tell you?" You know, you get the feeling from reading this that Pilate would be happy if he would have just said that he was not the king. Verse 36. And Jesus answered, "My kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." In other words, he's saying that his kingdom is not of this world. He said, "If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would be fighting." Remember what Peter tried to do in the garden when he pulled out his sword and cut off that man's ear? You know, and Jesus made him put it away. If his kingdom would have been of this world, there would have been a war broke out. They would have been, his servants would have been fighting for him. And even though Peter tried, well, he tells him to put up his sword. He says that in verse 36 there, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, it's not going to be of this world system. His kingdom is not going to come about by the power of politics, or it's not going to come through worldly measures, or he's not going to be elected king by some party, and he's not going to be built up by war and turmoil or hatred and bitterness. It says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. For every one that is out of the truth heareth my voice." I want to stop right there and give you the title to the sermon. And it says, The Side of the Truth. That's the title of the message, The Side of the Truth. Verse 37, he says, To this end was I born. And this cause he came to testify to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In other words, if you're on the side of the truth, if you're on the side of Jesus, you're going to listen to his voice and you're going to hear that truth. And we're going to look at this morning that being on the side of the truth, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice where you're going to spend eternity. You have to make a choice whether you're going to stand for Jesus or stand with the world. Let's read on a little further, verse 38. He says in 37 there, Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Look what it says in verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is the truth? What is truth? Do you catch yourself today in your life asking yourself, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he saith unto him, I find in him, what? No fault at all. No fault. He says, What is truth? He says he found no fault. John later tells us that he has written all these things so that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So what is truth? He says, I find no fault at all. Verse 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate here at this point, he never dreamed that these religious rulers would urge the people to demand that Barabbas be released. This Barabbas was such a bad person in society. He thought that if he brought him out and mentioned him, that would certainly say, no, you keep him and release Jesus. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that he was a just man. I'm not going to go there, but in Matthew 27 it says, For envy they delivered him. He knew why the Jewish people, the religious rulers, had delivered him. It was because of envy. They were envy of Jesus Christ. Also in Matthew 27, he said that he was innocent of the blood of this just man. In the book of Luke, it says, We found no cause of death. And as we looked at in 1838, it says, In him find no fault at all. Chapter 19. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Now one thing I want to point out here, that if Jesus was innocent, they should have turned him loose. And if he was found guilty, they have crucified him. And here we have an innocent man that was going to be crucified. And by the Roman law, Roman rules, if they were going to crucify somebody, they didn't take him out and whip him. But it says in verse 1, they took him out. And they flogged him. And this flogging that they would receive, it would be 39 lashes is what they would get. Some of the things that the Romans did were very, very, I consider to be one of the severest things of punishment that could be dished out, of the hooks that they would tie into these pieces of leather that would actually rip off the pieces of flesh and just leave the meat hanging. I mean, he was going to be crucified, the sentence of a man, yet they took him out and did this unlawfully. I believe Pilate thought here that this would satisfy the Jews, and they would, that way they wouldn't have to crucify him. And it tells us that they smote him. And if you study this and about how cruel this game became that these Romans did, they would blindfold a prisoner. All these soldiers, they would blindfold this prisoner, and all but one of them would hit him as hard as they could. That's what they would do to prisoners. And then they would remove the blindfold and ask if they were still conscious, say, guess which one did not hit you? And of course, you couldn't guess. You didn't know. And then they would blindfold them again and do the same routine over and over and over. That's how cruel it was. Can you imagine after being beaten and the flesh being ripped off of him and being whipped and then being beat in the face with these men's fists over and over and over again? Look what it says in the book of Isaiah 52:14. I'm going to read this from the NIV. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. In other words, he didn't even look like a human being anymore. He had been beaten so bad. His flesh had been ripped open, torn apart, that he did not even look human. And he hadn't even got to the cross yet. Remember we studied last week about the torment that he went through in the garden? It wasn't about this physical suffering that he was going to have to endure. It was about the sin that was going to come upon him. Verse 4 and 5. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find what? No fault in him. He brings him out. He says, I find no fault in him. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man. Behold the man. See, if you see Jesus this morning, the way Pilate seen him as just a man, then you haven't seen him at all. You're caught up in religion. You're caught up in things of the world. If you just see him like this, just as a man, you see him just like Pilate did, just a mere man. But he was more than a man. He is the Son of God. He is your Savior and mine. Amen? Verse 6 says, When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out. Look who's leading this cry out part. It's the chief priest, the religious people, and the officers. They saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find what? No fault in him. Verse 7. I'm going to go through 7 through 12. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he had made himself the Son of God. Remember what their law was of death? It was to be stoned. Verse 8, When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Verse 12, And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. It tells us here, from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. Was it because he believed in him? No. Is it because he knew that Jesus was innocent? Wasn't because he believed that he was the Savior of the world. It was because he believed and he knew in his heart that Jesus was innocent. But he let his political position overrule his justice. Verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in that place that is called the pavement. But in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Pilate is forced to make a choice. The crowd, the religious rulers, they force him to make a choice. He's got to make a choice. Will it be Jesus Christ or will it be Caesar? You realize that you have to make a choice today? You realize that? You must make a choice. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 says, He that is not with me is what? Against me. You got to make a choice. You're either with Jesus Christ or you're not. There's no more riding the fence. You got to make a choice, because if you're not with Jesus, then you're with Caesar. And if you're with Caesar, you're with the world. And if you're with the world, you're with the devil. There's no in between. You must make a choice. The minute that you make a decision against Christ, then you make a decision for the devil. Do you realize that? I'm going to say that one more time. The minute that you make a decision against Christ, you say, that's not for me right now. I think he was just a man. That's just a good story. That was an injustice that took place. The very minute that you make that decision, you're making it against Christ. You realize that? You must make a decision. Let's read on. Verse 16, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. I want to bring out just a few things here. I think sometimes that we hear the story of the crucifixion so much that it does not affect us like it should as believers in Jesus Christ. But I want to point out some things of looking at it as a standpoint of God. What the cross does, the cross is a propitiation for our sins, a payment for our sins. The cross becomes a mercy seat where God can extend his mercy to you and me. That cross became where a payment was made for full satisfaction to a holy God. A God that is holy and righteous and could not reach down to us until there was a payment, a penalty paid for that sin. He bore our guilt. And in so doing, God became satisfied. From the standpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ, he became a sacrifice. He became an offering for our sins. From the standpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an act of obedience. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did not. What he was agonizing over in the garden about sin becoming upon him, he could have said, I'm not going to do this. But it was an act of obedience. How about a standpoint of you and me? As believers, he became our substitution. He took our place. He was sinless. There was no fault on him. And yet he did all that suffering for us as a sinner. The just suffering for the unjust. From the standpoint of Satan, he became defeat. Satan was defeated. And from the standpoint of the world, it was just a brutal murder. Something that you would think that I can't believe that they treated that man that way. You would, from a standpoint of the world, as somebody that's not saved, that's not seen Jesus Christ as who he is, that there was just an injustice that's been done, and that's all they see. It's like some news story that you would see on today about somebody mistreating somebody. Verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, he went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and he put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. You know, I never realized this until studying this, that it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Hebrew was the language of religion. It was about religion. Greek was the language of the culture and the education at that time. And the Latin was the language of law and order. In other words, that was written for the whole world to see that he died for all. Someone that was innocent, someone that was a perfect sacrifice, and that someone was Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The side of truth. Those were Jesus' words. He said that the side of truth will hear his voice. And if you're not hearing his voice, then you've picked the other side. If you've picked the side of truth, you're going to listen to his voice. And that voice is calling you, because as Jesus Christ is lifted up, he died for all. That sign that they put up there was a sign for everyone. He died for you and he died for me. Do you hear his voice? All you got to do is step out in faith and receive that forgiveness that he died for.